AM 96.1 FM. Roaring Spring, Altoona. A service of Leitner Communications. It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
What the hell are they doing? What the hell are you doing? That pretty much sum up the feeling in your living room watching the game Saturday as Penn State runs up the gut, throws an incomplete pass, pisses away the game. You know, we got a lot to talk about. Should James Franklin be fired? No, we got a lot to talk about today. I'm your grief counselor, Corey Geiger. Step off the ledge. Let me remind you that Penn State is what we thought it was. If you really thought Penn State was ready to beat Ohio State with terrible wide receivers and so many other issues within the program, NIL deficiencies, the soft kind of style they play on offense. I'll get to that. Should James Franklin be fired? No. Is Andy Kotelnicki a fraud? Yeah, seems that way. We were told Andy Kotelnicki's phenomenal, Geiger. Well, that's the worst damn sequence of play calling I've ever seen in my life in college football. Now, I don't go back to Alabama and the goal line and all that. Some of you, you know, can go back a little further than me. The Seahawks and Marshawn Lynch in the Super Bowl, that's the worst play call in the history of sports. Not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch, losing the Super Bowl because of it, and Russell Wilson throws an interception in the end zone when Marshawn Lynch would have just danced right in and the Seahawks would have beaten the Patriots. That's the worst play call in the history of all sports. What Andy Kotelnicki did, we'll live with him and we'll live with Penn State forever. Because 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, you're going to be yelling, "What the hell was Penn State doing? That crap works at Kansas!" It ain't working against Ohio State in the Big Ten. We got lots to talk about. Lots to talk about. 946-0435. Penn State is who we thought they were. A really good team that can't beat elite teams. I've told you for 3 years, Penn State's the 8th, 9th, 10th best team in the country. And that's really kind of all it's ever going to be. Is that enough? They might go 11-1 this year. Latest playoff projections have them going to Notre Dame in the first round of the playoff. That ain't going to be good. Penn State's the 8th, 9th, 10th best team in the country. Fans want them to be first, second, third, fourth. It hasn't happened. It's not going to happen under James Franklin. Should he be fired because he can't get from 8 to 3? I know they were the third-ranked team in the country, but that was a fraud. They've beaten nobody. Penn State's beaten nobody. Okay, they've beaten nobody. Not a single win on the schedule this year against a team that's currently in the top 25. Illinois was lost. USC's got 5 freaking losses. Oh, but that's a great win at USC. Comeback, victory. Yeah, well, USC's got 5 losses. They're terrible. Penn State was overrated. Andy Kotelnicki's kind of a fraud. And James Franklin can't win big games. So we'll open up the phone lines, bombard me with whatever thoughts you have. I was sitting in my living room. No, I wasn't at the game. I'm not traveling to the games this year. I don't have a beat writing responsibility. So I'm sitting in my living room saying, what the hell is Penn State doing? Then I remembered Penn State doesn't win those games unless there's some miracle, unless God reaches down and allows Marcus Allen to block a field goal and allows Grant Haley to score. Unless God allows that to happen with a miracle. James Franklin ain't winning that game. All right. George in Altoona. What you got, buddy? We got a lot of things to discuss. You get the first crack at it.
Okay. Well, what I was going to ask you is if you were still attending his press, James Franklin's press conferences.
I am not. I'm just a lowly radio guy now. Well, I'm not actually on the writing beat this year because my job, DK Pittsburgh Sports, decided not to cover Penn State football. So it kind of left me in a lurch. So I'm just here talking about it.
Well, I would love to have someone ask Franklin if he was involved in the goal line
play
calling.
They did. I'll try to find the clip later. He was not. He said he was not. He said he lets the offensive...
It looked very similar to 2018, if you recall.
I do. But he did answer that specifically. Just to clear it up.
And they handed off.
Yep, I agree. And that was after a timeout. Now, in that situation, I got to think James was probably pretty heavily involved. There was a timeout against Ohio State in 2018. And this is the course of the game. This is four consecutive plays. And James said today that there's not a back and forth on the headset because he said that's how you get confusion or delay games, that kind of stuff. So James made it seem like, and if this isn't throwing somebody under the bus, James made it seem like all of that.
I don't
where Andy could tell.
I don't trust it because I think those guys would have to be working on a 2-point conversion plays during the week. And they got to be more exotic, even more exotic 2-point conversion play that you could have used there.
It's the worst series of play calls in that kind of situation I've ever seen from Penn State. It was absolutely abominable. They like Catron Allen. We've talked for years. Who's a better running back, Catron Allen or Nicholas Singleton? Well, Catron gets you those tough yards up at the line of scrimmage in the Big Ten. Catron gets those. Nick is the home run guy. Catron will get those tough yards. Let's just go with him. Well, this is Ohio State. That crap ain't working against Ohio State.
Well, they didn't even try to go airborne. I don't know why they didn't try to go up over.
Okay, look, I've waited 9 minutes now. Tyler Warren didn't get the ball. The best player on the field, the best player. I love Tyler Warren. I'm strongly considering having Tyler Warren on my Heisman ballot. I love Tyler Warren. And the guy was – he didn't do anything in the first half because they didn't get him the ball. And then they don't get him in the ball. That's it. It's absolutely inexcusable to not give Tyler Warren the ball at least one time in that scenario.
Yeah, well, one kid on the roster there, they recruited him because of his ability to dunk a basketball. I don't know if that was Luke Reynolds, maybe.
Well, Tyler could dunk. Was it Reynolds?
Was it one story?
Was it Donko? Okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I remember because we have all these videos that show up everything. Well, that's fine. Go dunk a basketball. Is that going to work at the goal line on Ohio State?
I'm saying the guy can leap.
Yeah.
So why don't you give a chance? He just has to break the plane.
Bo Prabula. Where's Bo Prabula in that situation? I mean, the offense, here's the thing. The offense scored 6 points. So in that scenario, there was an interception in the end zone. That Ohio State kid made an unbelievable catch for the interception. That was incredible. And then the goal line thing at the end. But Penn State's offense scored 6 points. Mike Yurcich scored 12. Mike Yurcich scored 12 and got fired a few weeks later.
Well, talking about Mike Yurcich, why didn't they adopt that play, the full house backfield play?
Because it's blown up.
That was a pretty good play.
It was for a year. Remember the Illinois game in 2023? Remember the Illinois game early last year and Illinois blew it up? And that was basically the end of that I formation. Because here's what happens in college football. Because one of the key plays was Vega Ione, the lineman, number 71, coming across and pancaking some dude. Well, do you know what defensive coordinators do? They find ways to stop that stuff. And so the power I formation that Yurcich did, it was great. We all just loved it and everything. And then Illinois figured out a way to stop it early last year, and basically the play's been gone. And so the Vega Ione play. Look, this is what But look, George, I'm gonna say this because this is the overriding theme of my thought process coming out of the game. Penn State plays a tricky, gimmicky offense that you need to play at Kansas when you don't have the players, that you need to play at Buffalo when you don't have the players. Andy Kotelnicki is running a gimmick offense that looks great. Oh, my God, 37 people are all moving at the same time. Look how amazing this looks. Oh, it got blown up. When you don't have the play, when you come from a smaller program that doesn't have the players, how do you survive? You bullcrap your way through it. You fake it till you make it. You run gimmicky plays. That crap ain't working against Ohio State. So you can run all these gimmicky, and then, but even if you got Bo Prabula sitting on the sideline, your one running quarterback, who a week earlier looked fantastic in saving your ass after Aller got hurt. But so the prevailing thought for me right now, because we're going to talk, should James Franklin be fired? Again, no. But the prevailing thought for me right now is this offense is a gimmick. It's a fraud. It's filled with, ooh, shiny things. Look at these shiny things over here. Look at our number. Look at our offensive lineman, shiny. He's going in motion and pancaking a dude. That's shiny crap. Then you get there and you realize it's not a quarter. It's an old candy wrapper that's empty. That's what Penn State's offense is.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't want to hog up the line. I've been on. You've been gracious to give me this much time.
Appreciate it, buddy. So thanks for the call, man. Anybody wants to call any of this stuff, 946-0435. The wide receivers are terrible. We'll get to that. But my prevailing thought is this offense, they're trying to be so cute. Cute doesn't win in the Big Ten. Power football wins in the Big Ten. And if you're not a power football program, because you can't, you're trying to bust it up the line of scrimmage three straight times against Ohio State, the best defense in the country, what are those play calls? All right, caller number two is an Ohio State fan. Wait, what's your perspective?
Well, I don't want you to think I'm mad at you. I didn't call last week because the week before the game, I don't want to jinx myself. So that's a really stupid superstition. But my thought on the game is I just couldn't believe they were gifting us those plays. And I was so proud of the offense getting out of their own end zone. And if you'd have told me they're going to run the clock out, I wouldn't have believed it.
That's another problem. They take over at the 1 yard line. James did address this today. It said it's a concern. Ohio State just on first and goal, first down at the 1 yard line. Will Howard ran for 4 yards. He did a quarterback sneak for 4 yards, for crying out loud. And so Penn State's defense was nowhere to be found on that final drive.
Yeah, that first play, and then Judkins getting the first down. That I thought, man, they're blowing them off the line, and they know they're going to run.
Look, you've been an Ohio State fan for a long time. You live here. You know how the Penn State fan base works. Can you believe that they ran three straight plays right up the gut against Ohio State's defense, thinking that was going to work?
I thought, you guys, please keep doing it.
Yeah.
I said, are they going to keep doing that? And then, you know, the pass play, I think, who's the good guy that you're talking to, the tight end?
Tyler Warren. They were going to him, and the guy there.
I think they should have.
Well, they did. They were going to him. You can see he's like in the left flat, and the Ohio State defender read it perfectly and was there. He covered it. I mean, it was great defense.
Well, I thought that with him being that tall, he might have been able to grab that and fall into the end zone because the defender was a lot smaller. But I just I don't know what happens. I just hope Franklin keeps doing this. And now he didn't call those plays, I guess, but it sure looked like a classic Ohio State, Penn State. Let's see how we can lose this.
Yep. Very good. Appreciate the call, buddy. Thanks. 946-0435. Chuck in Unionville. What's going on, Chuck? How you doing, pal?
Hey, brother. You know, we've talked about this for years and years and years. He is who he is. And it's always theme and variation. You can parse the X's and O's, but the X's and O's always end up the same. Where you just look at this and you go, what? You know, you're so close, but it's like the guy who sabotages himself all the time. And I think that at the end of the day, Penn State fans are just going to have to accept this. And you just hear me out. You know, there are two things that are going to keep Franklin there. The first is it's the purely economics of it. Regardless of whether he can't beat Ohio State or not, they just had a record crowd. And he's in the Penn State cash cow of Penn State football alive and well. And people are coming to the stadium, and it's not going to change. And the bottom line is, and you know how this goes, Corey, you can always say, hey, we're going to get another coach. But the odds of finding somebody better than him are far, far less than the odds of finding somebody who's worse than him. And he's at that level where he's just going to perpetuate himself because the university's not going to cook the goose that's laying the golden egg right now.
Look, Penn State is the 8th, 9th best team in the country. There's a lot to be said for that. And James Franklin wins a lot of games against people that, you know, he's supposed to beat. The buyout's huge. They're not going to fire him. The risk is this. Do I think James Franklin should be fired? No. They're literally one play away from going to overtime. Although, I still think Ohio State would have driven the field maybe and scored and won that game, regardless if Penn State had gotten the touchdown or not. But they're one play away from being tied with a few minutes to go against Ohio State. To be that close, there's a lot to be said for it. But at the same time, nobody believes James Franklin's going to win these games. Nobody. I don't believe it. You don't believe it. 99.999999999999% Penn State fans on this planet don't believe James Franklin's going to win that game because we've just seen it time and time again. So you get that close. The only game they won was a miracle, an absolute miracle, and they've found other ways to blow these games. But if you fire James Franklin, what if you bring in some a-hole coach that can't recruit or get you in trouble from NCAA probation or whatever, a guy that can't win the games he's supposed to win? There are a lot of things that could go wrong. If you move on from James Franklin, if you're not happy being 11-1-10-2 and you move on, the next guy might go 8-4 a whole bunch. This happened in Nebraska. There is precedent for this. So, no, I don't think they fired James Franklin. I think the reality is that Penn State fans are just going to have to live with the fact that Ohio State is better than them.
100%. I'm not calling for his firing. I mean, it's just he is who he is. He's good enough to preserve his job year after year. And what you said was absolutely right, because you don't have a trestle. You're not, you know, facing – you know, somebody doing something they shouldn't. You're not facing any more sanctions because of recruiting or this or that or the other. And you know what? You got to hand it to him, because he's got a stand up program for the most part. And life could be worse. I kind of chuckle, Corey, because for all of the Paterno mystique and living in here since '78, he only won 2 national championships. Now, I don't always say he only won 2 national championships, because that's a great accomplishment. And they were in the early 80s. So Penn State hasn't seen the national, except for the 90s, what was it, 14? They probably should have been given it when it went to Nebraska. But what I'm saying is this lust for a national championship has never really, it's really hard to explain, because Penn State football was never there outside of 1981 and 82, or 81 or 86. So it's this curious thing that the Penn State fandom has, that they're going to demand a national championship, when the reality is it's pretty damn good.
All right. Now, look, James Franklin is not Joe Paterno. Let me say that right off the bat, period, end of discussion.
Sure.
Neil Riddell tweeted this. This is some fascinating statistical background, okay? Joe Paterno, against the top 5, went 14-33. 14-33 overall. Now listen to this, though. From 1966 to 1980, Joe's record against the top 5 was 2-12. From 1966 to 1980, Joe's record against the top 5 was 2-12. Couldn't get the job done in big games. Beat Maryland and Syracuse and Temple and Boston College and Pitt and West Virginia. And a gigantic portion of those 409 victories were against teams that Penn State was vastly better then. Now, from 1981 to 86, Joe was 9-4 against top five teams. That's spectacular. That's spectacular. The two national championships. So 9-4 from 81 to 86. After 1986 until 2010, through the end of his career, Joe's record, everybody ready for this? Joe's record against top five teams from 1987 on was 3-17. What I'm telling you is, unless you're 60 plus, you've never seen Penn State be a legitimate top five program year in and year. Never. Not ever. Outside of 81 to 86, you got that little window. So if you're under 50, if you're over 50, you remember a little. But outside of that 9-4 window, Joe went 5-29. 5-29 against top five teams outside of a great five-year window. It's very difficult to win against top five of competition, no question about it. But this notion that Penn State has in its birthright shots at national championship, it's been 38 years. And we can claim 94 all we want, but Joe never beat top five. And by the way, Joe didn't have to play Michigan and Ohio State most of those years until 93 because they weren't in the Big Ten. That would have been at least one and probably two more losses most years. So the point I'm trying to make is, no, James Franklin is not Joe Paterno by any stretch of the imagination. But this notion that Penn State is a great program and beats these top five teams with some level of consistency, that's never been true outside of one five-year window.
And that was my point, Corey. I didn't want to say that Franklin was Paterno in any way, but Paterno really wasn't Paterno from the 80 when you, with those perfectly the statistics that you cited. And what I mean by that was the town had lived off his mystique, but his record never really measured up to that mystique that was built in during the 80s.
Yep.
And that's the reality of it. So, you know, Penn State football fans have really expectations that really aren't
misguided. There's misguided expectations for Penn State football fans. Chuck, I appreciate the call, but I'm going to take one more, then I got to take a break here. Mitch in Tyrone. What's going on, Mitch? How you doing today, buddy?
Okay, how you doing?
All right, sir.
Here's my thing on that. When they were down at the five-yard line, why did they give it to Ward three times? He surely would win in the end zone.
I say at least twice. Three times, yeah. You know, but I say you give it to him on first down, you give it to him on third down, and then you see what happens on fourth down.
Right. I guarantee you he would have gone in the end zone.
Yeah, I mean,
he has, the size he has.
You just try to run up the gut too often.
Yeah.
That's just not. So were you in your living room yelling, "What the hell is Penn State doing?"
I didn't yell. I just said, "Why did they give him the ball? Not even one time."
Yep.
Not one time.
It's inexcusable. I mean, Mitch, 30, 40 years from now, we're going to be looking back. Hopefully we're still around and saying.
Well, I won't be, but you might.
I'm not sure, knock on wood. We're going to be saying, remember when Penn State completely blew it with those horrendous play? I mean, that's the kind of sequence that lasts forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, they'll probably get in the playoffs, but I don't know what they'll do.
Very good. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it. All right, I'll take some more calls after the break.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textblind.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes. Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s, but for 80 to 90% less and shipped directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Just send them a text.
Text TURN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Text TURN to 200-300 right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text TURN to 200-300. That's TURN to 200-300. TURN to 200-300.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J&P Auto Mart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J&P Auto Mart. That's right, I've been at J&P Auto Mart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J&P Auto Mart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experience with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get that deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie at J&P Auto Mart.
Apply online at jnpautomart.com or phone 944-5338.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your Halloween party or trick-or-treat, great times and great snacks go hand-in-hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Bread and
Roll Pacific. Alright, we still got lots to discuss. 946-0435. You wanna chime in? Anybody out there wanna claim that James Franklin should be fired? I think that's kind of crazy talk. If we're still talking about this in 2 or 3 years. And struggling in the playoff, that's one thing. But look, let's try to have some perspective here today. This is just one loss. As long as Penn State runs the table, which it should, they'll get in the playoff, and there's a chance to still have some success in the playoff. Now, I'm concerned about that trip to Minnesota in a few weeks. I've said that for a while. I think the trip to Minnesota could be dangerous. If they lose again at 10-2. There's probably not a path to the playoff at that point. It'll be very, very close, but I don't know. Clarkster, what's going on? How you doing, man?
One word. No, it's not going to be rosebud or plastic.
Rosebud.
The word for the day is peacock, but we'll go that later.
Yeah, right. We can do that later in the week.
Yeah. Control the line of scrimmage. Old-time Big Ten football. You know,
where do you weigh in on this? I'm curious about this. Where do you weigh in on this? So they go out and they get Andy Katilnicki, And the Penn State media and fans have basically been I have some kind of references I'd like to make about it, but are not appropriate. They're X-rated. They're not appropriate for the radio, but I think some of you know what I'm talking about. Penn State, they've just been slobbering all over the damn guy, okay?
Well,
hang on. Let me ask you this.
Yeah,
but he's running a gimmick offense. He's running a gimmick offense that
you have a problem when you're backed up, you know, with the lack of field back there. When you're at the 1 or 2 yard
that's
line,
not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just in general. When your background is Buffalo and Kansas, what do you have? Even if you have success at Kansas, what kind of players do you have at Kansas?
Well, you have an open air Coryell type offense.
You have lesser players. You go into games against greater programs with lesser. Hang on. Let me finish this thought. When you're the underdog, when you're the little guy, the only way you win is by outsmarting people with gimmicks and tricks and things like that. Okay. So then you bring that to the Big Ten, and you've got great players. You've got great athletes. And still basically all you can do is try to trick people.
They couldn't go wide at all during the game. All the yardage that they did get, with the exception of the Warren run, and I have a question about the Warren run. We were hosting, our daughter came over to watch the game with us, okay? And on the Warren run, I want to see the replay where he went out of bounds.
It looked a little closer to like the 2 to me.
It looked somewhere between the 1 and the 2.
Yeah.
And subsequent, that's not to relieve the 3 attempts.
Sure,
the
I know,
line.
But it would have made it easier. Absolutely,
it would have made it easier. And you know, the quarterback isn't going to be more than likely the runner, given his physical condition.
But the issue is still
hurt.
If your base offense is a gimmicky, tricky offense because you're moving everybody all around, when you get first and goal inside the 5-yard line against Ohio State.
But you're not going to do trickery.
And
there.
The best you can do is run three times up the gut. Look, every team has 10 two-point conversion plays. 10.
Yes.
Every team.
Yes.
A lot of teams have 30 two-point conversion plays. You go, your season is on the line. Give me 5 of your best 2-point conversion plays. Don't run it 3 times up the middle against the best defense in the country.
Penn State wins that game if they don't leave all the points on the board there. They lost points on that drive. You know, let's say they even get 3.
Sure.
But did they ever get the ball back?
They wouldn't have. The interception at the end of the first half was huge as well.
And the inability to put it in on the first field goal and stuff. They left a lot of points out there. They moved the ball around a bit. They had opportunities, but against, you know, a quality opponent, you know, it's going to be a coin toss.
What I'm telling you and what I'm telling everybody else, and you're not going to hear this from other people in the Penn State media who are slobbering all over Andy Kotelnicki. I've been saying this for weeks. This is a fraud. This is a gimmick. 4 out of their last 5 games, they had 7 points or less in the first half. 4 out of their last 5 games, they had 6 points offensively total against Ohio State. This is a fraud. This is a fraudulent system. Unless he figures out how to play bigger boy football, you don't have to go line up and be the smartest, prettiest girl in the room. You can sometimes you don't need to be a 10. A good solid 7 can knock out a lot of guys, all right? You don't have to have 50 guys in motion and try to look pretty on every freaking play when you just need to score.
Do you think his ties to Aller were too tight that he wouldn't put in Probola? In other words, this was the big stage for Aller.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that would be Kotelnicki. I think that would be Franklin.
That's what I mean.
Yes, that would be Franklin. That I mean, again, look, I sat here last week and said, no, I wouldn't start Bo Probola over Drew, but I can give you somewhat reasonable expectation that this offense that they run, the offense they run, the gimmicky offense that he brought from Kansas, is better suited for a dude who has Bo Prabula's skill set than who has Drew's skill set. But the wide receivers
I agree with you.
The wide receivers had three catches. Three. When you're and look, I got a 20-minute rant about the wide receivers and how they've killed the program. I'll save that for a second. But if you can't do anything on the outside, then put everybody possible in there that you can do something.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing how the defense had so many holes though at times on the edge, on the sides. There was wide open. There was no coverage in a lot of cases. Let's put this aside a second. When you start talking about Penn State being in the elite, who are these teams going to play? Penn State has to be in the talk here, because what teams are you going to put in the elite category, and what kind of a schedule are they going to have? There's not that many teams that are there. Paterno probably should have had four championships. Go back into the late 60s. And the 94, they were possible.
94 is absolutely reasonable. I'm not getting into a whole thing on this right now, but I've done the history. I've done the Penn State beat a lot of nobodies for a long time.
Nobody.
No, you don't understand. You're an older guy. You're way older than me. You should understand. Eastern football was so unbelievably bad for a long time. Okay, the perception of the Penn State football program, 68, 69, those players will tell you, Penn State fans will tell you, we could have beaten anybody. Well, they didn't. They didn't try. They didn't have to. The Eastern football was so bad at that time that they had to overcome the perception for a long, long, long time.
Maybe Kansas one year, right?
Yeah.
Kansas,
right.
The point is, you can name some of these teams that are in the top 10. I mean, Ohio State lost to Oregon. Who else have they played? They got the same schedule as Penn State virtually. Okay? You got to open it up here, or we're going to get so sequestered with teams being in this elite category.
Look, I got to cut it off. The bottom line is you're going to have to beat some of these teams. Okay? He's 1-17. Make sure I've got the numbers right. 1-14 against the top five. The one win was a miracle. God reached down and said, James, I'm going to give you a miracle today. God said, James Franklin, I'm going to give you this miracle so that 8 years later we're not talking about 0-15. I'm going to give you a miracle, okay? I'm giving you this block field goal. Here's your miracle. The rest of it you're going to have to do on your own. 1-14 against top five teams, 3-17 against top 10 teams, okay? The bottom line is he doesn't get the job done in these games. Let's not get lost. Let's not lose the forest for the trees here. Tim in Altoona, what's up, man?
Hey, Corey. Hey, a couple things. I don't think you really have to talk about the fans' expectations, because I think it's good to have expectations
of
a national championship.
Yep.
You know, and what I want to say, I'm very unhappy with the undisciplined plays that extend drives. Now, you know, Abdul Carter has jumped off sides a number of times, newly to the defensive line. Okay, on 3rd and 2, you know, I mean, I can almost live with that, almost, right? But Washington stepping over the guy, getting a personal foul, you know, Jalen Reed taking the helmet off, on the interception return. Franklin does not hold people accountable. Right, he does not hold people accountable, and you know I know what you're saying about Kotelniki, but I was thinking there on 4th down. I mean, I'm not going to defend those 3 play calls. That's been beaten to death, right? But Vega on that 4th down, he's an eligible receiver.
Yeah,
he was wide.
Yeah,
Ohio State's defense, the linebackers and the safety, they were not even looking at him.
It is interesting that, again, for everybody, Vega number 71, was kind of went in motion everything, and they're only thinking about him as a blocker there. But, yeah, you could have thrown him the ball, no question.
Now, does he have to, because of his number, announce that he's eligible?
I don't think eligibility depends on where you're lined up. If you're essentially lined up as a tight end, which is why when Tyler Warren snapped the ball and then caught the touchdown, he was eligible
right.
because he was still the tight end. He was the last guy on the line of scrimmage. He still counted as a tight end. And I think, I'm not 100% certain, but I think, because I saw some other people point this out, that Venga could have been ruled eligible there, based on where he had initially lined up.
And if you look at that play, they are not even looking at him. Throw the ball. That's what that's setting up.
Yeah.
You know, all those other times. I mean, I just cannot believe that they were so uncreative down at that.
It's impossible to believe. A guy whose entire identity is this unbelievably creative, clever, think outside. Look, folks, I'm not going to lie to you. I've covered Penn State for 19 years. I'm 51 years old. That goal line situation is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in all of sports history, period. Okay? You have to take everything into consideration. I'm not just talking about running three straight plays up the middle. I'm talking about who he is, where he came from, what his identity is, what his MO is, what they try to do. Tyler Warren, Bo Prabilla. You can add up 25 things that make it seem completely and totally impossible to believe that you're going to run the ball up the gut three consecutive times against an Ohio State defense.
You know, and I don't care what Franklin says. I still think he has his fingerprint on that, right? I don't think, you know, Franklin, even though everything, I understand I own it, right? I own it. He never says I made a mistake, right?
I mean, yeah, I get it.
I was wrong.
I get it.
Why do you say
I get it.
Why do you say it like that?
I get it.
You don't want.
That's what he says all the time. I get it. I get it. Well, do you get it?
So the thing is, yeah, I understand when, you know, they're allowed to talk through their microphone for, you know, up until the play clock hits 15 seconds. Well, after that's off, he can still talk to Ketel Nicky and say, let's run it again.
Yeah, it is hard for me to believe that there wasn't some communication there about trying to do something different.
And, you know, and I just don't trust Franklin like that. I don't.
Good stuff, man. All right, appreciate the call, Tim. We'll take a break here. I got two more things I really want to hit on, the wide receiver situation and money.
NASCAR Cup Series race recap from Martinsville Speedway. I'm Kerry Murphy. To victory lane, Ryan Blaney. Defending Cup Series champion will defend his title at Phoenix. He won Martinsville last year and won the championship at Phoenix. Will history repeat itself? All right, let's break this whole thing down. In the closing laps, Chase Elliott was leading, and in the championship four, his friend, defending Cup Series champion Ryan Blaney, passed him for the lead, launching the 12-team in and knocking the 9 car out. Kyle Larson, with 6 wins on the season, the most of any other driver, is also eliminated. Turns out, missing that race, you know, the Coca-Cola 600, that was important. But instead, he ran the Indianapolis 500. Christopher Bell, at the final corner of the race on the final lap, passed Bubba Wallace to knock William Byron out on a tiebreaker. However, not so fast. After waiting a while, NASCAR Race Control determined that Seabell's wall ride was a safety violation, and the 20 team was, in fact, knocked out. The championship four drivers are Ryan Blaney, Tyler Reddick, Joey Logano, and William Byron. The four drivers eliminated were Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, and Chase Elliott. Up next for the NASCAR Cup Series is Phoenix Raceway. Who will be the 2024 Cup Series champion? Find out Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on NBC. You're on the final lap.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
you. Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ROCK to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ROCK to 42424. That's ROCK to 42424.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
All right, let's talk turkey. Not Thanksgiving turkey, moolah. Money, 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 money. Money. Penn State doesn't have enough of it for football. Wait, what? Oh, man, my favorite topic. Clarkster already called in on this. I got nobody on the calling board, Clarkster. If you're still out there listening, you want to call in. I got about 8 minutes on this. The money thing. Penn State didn't lose because of money. Penn State lost because of the terrible play calls inside the five-yard line. But there is a money factor here that is a reality for Penn State football. Ohio State has a $20 million roster of players. They had better players. Somebody called in last week and said, Penn State's got better players. I laughed. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's no way Penn State has better players than Ohio State. It might be close in some ways, but Ohio State went out and landed $20 million worth of players on a roster. Meanwhile, Penn State's paying a $700 million stadium renovation. For a good year, I've been talking about this. Penn State's at a disadvantage financially because of this, that I can't think of any other program in the country is in this spot financially. So you've got Penn State is not one of the leading NIL programs in the country. They can't go buy the wide receivers or the transfers. They can't do it. But Penn State has the largest alumni base in the country. And, well, where's their money going? They've got a $700 million stadium renovation. Some family gave them $25 million a couple months ago. Three, four other families have given like $5 million. I think they've raised like $75 million for the stadium renovation. What if that $75 million were going to NIL? How many friggin' players could you buy with that? How many wide receivers could you buy with that? Penn State has a unique problem in college football. It can't go spend that kind of money because it's got a $700 million stadium renovation to take care of. Ohio State doesn't. Georgia doesn't. Alabama doesn't. Texas doesn't. In one of the more trying times financially in college sports history, Penn State has a $700 million albatross that it's got to pay for. And therefore, to catch up in NIL to Ohio State and some of these other places, not going to happen. 31 varsity sports, you got to pay them all. Why? Why does Penn State have 31 varsity sports? It's too many. Cut some and spend even more on football. You want to brag about having 31 varsity sports and enjoy losing to Ohio State all the time. They got more money than you. Now, again, this loss specifically was not about money. This was about execution and bad play calling. But there is an element here I could spend a lot more time on the wide receivers, too. Penn State's wide receiver situation is a disaster for the second year in a row. So James Franklin, this is almost a billion-dollar operation, and it's getting crushed by one position. How does that happen? A couple years ago, he fired Taylor Stubblefield, the wide receivers coach, brought in Marcus Hagans, who had basically accomplished nothing in recruiting at Virginia. Nothing. I wrote about it at the time. This is a giant concern. Marcus Hagans' recruiting at Virginia was really terrible. Well, he was at Virginia. It's hard to recruit to Virginia. Okay, fine. He hasn't recruited very well at Penn State. What's he coaching at Penn State? The wide receiver situation is a disaster at Penn State. Julian Fleming, he had one catch. He's got 12 catches this year. He was a cast-off from Ohio State for a reason. He wasn't that great. Good teammate, good dude, good leader, all that stuff. Can't get open. Lots of reasons you lose football games. If you don't have the money to go out and buy the players you need and the other team does, you're at a disadvantage right there. All right, Clarkster, I welcome to call back because I know this is his favorite subject as well. You see where I'm going with all this?
Yeah, but also the players lost the game too.
Absolutely. It's look, I'm not sitting here telling you this specific game was lost because of money. I'm sitting here telling you that the money is the reason you're going to keep losing these kind of games.
Saturday's going to resemble Sunday. Is what it's going to be.
Well, that's already happened. They had 111,000 people there. I read that game was going to generate $15 million for Penn State.
With all this NIL stuff and everything, at some point I think people will get turned off to it.
But do you see what I'm talking about? Penn State specifically. No other program that we're talking about right now has to renovate a $700 million stadium.
They will find money, you know, that $700 million, you know, money is, right now, is out there. They will find the money.
It's not, and they won't. It's not, and they won't. You're wrong. You're 1,000,000,000% wrong. They just had $75 million in donations for the stadium over the last 2 to 3 months. Yeah. None of that money's going to NIL. None of that money's getting you better players. None. Ohio State is spending $20 million on its roster. If I had to guess, Penn State's probably half. Half, if even that.
Yeah.
So look, I've spent 15 years here talking about the difference between the Dodgers and the Pirates, okay? The Dodgers won the World Series. The Pirates are pathetically cheap. If you're Ohio State, what's their roster payroll going to be in 10, 15 years? $30 million? Well, $40 million? What's Penn State going to be? They got a $700 million stadium to pay for. Their largest alumni base in the country, they don't have the kind of people that can give this money. I'm telling you, you're completely wrong if you think Penn State is just going to up and all of a sudden find the money to compete with Ohio State.
They will do that. The problem is that somewhere down the road, these kids are going to be employees, is what it's going to come down to. This thing is going to morph out of control, and I have fear of what college athletics is going to turn into with this, because if you see this kind of money going out there, what do you think they're sitting back saying about it? You're going to have these three schools in 5 years or 4 years or whatever, and it's just going to be more mercenary than it is. The other thing for Franklin, maybe he should try having a Pennsylvania quarterback instead of an Ohio quarterback.
All right, I got to take a break. Good stuff, man.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious, homemade meals served up from 11:30 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
HFM. All right, I can sneak in one more phone call. Eric in Altoona. What's up, Eric? You get the final word today, man.
Hey, well, as far as the four times up the middle, that's been a history there from the 79 Sugar Bowl to the first year they played Michigan in 93.
And I'll quote Neil Riddell from the Mirror today. That's caveman football. That's caveman football.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not how football is played anymore.
The stadium, I blame on previous administrations. You know, they threw up that crappy addition in the north end zone years ago to throw in 10, 15,000 more people. Then they put that grandiose thing in the south end zone. Then they did nothing with the press box. They threw in them sky boxes. I know it was all about money, but it's like an old car, and you keep fixing it up, and you keep fixing it up, and then it finally craps the bed. And then you say, oh, my God, a new car, $25,000, $30,000.
Yeah, it should have been done a long time.
Yeah, you left it go.
And they've got, look, again, they've got 31 varsity sports. They're so proud of all that. Well, you want to have 31 varsity sports, you're losing millions of dollars that you could be putting into football. These are the realities. I've been talking about this for years. They're tough realities. You'd be cutting opportunities from fencers or whoever the heck else. But these are the realities if you're going to spread yourself that kind of thin financially.
Yeah, I mean, they're just – Ohio State's just in a class all itself. And they're almost like an SEC team.
Yep. Very good. Appreciate it, Eric. Thanks for the call. Thanks to everybody. A lot of good stuff today. I want to thank once again our presenting sponsor, JM Boswell's, for supporting our program each and every day. Love those folks at JM Boswell's. Head on over there, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. Have a good night, folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC, Roaring Spring, Altoona.